fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America,
the next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed. What's up? Welcome into it. It is a Friday, man. You finally made it to the end of the week at TGIF, as we like to say. And thank goodness, man, the first full five-day work week of 2024 is under your belt, which means it's only easier and it gets better from here on out for the rest of the entire year. Welcome into it. We have a lot to talk about today. So wonderful to have you along for the ride. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting live out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, multiple radio stations and TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen to the show. It's so great to have you, your millennial general, reporting for duty like we do every single day. Interesting show lined up today. We have a lot to talk about. Obviously, the Hawkeye Caucus kicks off on Monday, so the final weekend before the first presidential primary of the year. You can anticipate what the shenanigans may be like this weekend as the candidates do their last minute panicking and freaking out trying to win over as many voters as possible. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We have the latest party registration affiliation across the nation, and it may surprise you. And will this throw a wrench into the system nationwide? So we have that for you. Bottom of the hour, we have Bear Wozniak. Yes, his name is Bear. Bear Wozniak. He is the author of the book 12 Rules for Manliness. He also holds multiple titles in surfing. He also co-founded the World Tandem Competition Tour, along with so many other things. And now he gives people tours on adventures around the world. Excited to have him on. His author, the book of the 12 Rules for Manliness, will talk about masculinity and manliness going into 2024, which may be very triggering for some on the other side of the aisle who may not like that. So I apologize in advance. Sorry, not sorry. As we talk about what manliness really looks like in the new generations. We have all that coming up, which kind of leads into our conversation here. And it's funny because I saw this headline shortly before we came on, and this is not what I was going to talk about on the show today, but I thought it was kind of an intriguing concept for sure. I was pondering throughout the day today. I was filling out some paperwork and just trying to figure out what to do to finish off the week and how to get prepared for the weekend and for the new week. And there's always so much, obviously, that has to go on. And in my mind, as I was just filling out kind of blinding, just mind-numbing paperwork and reports that I have to do, my mind started wandering, and I started thinking about some of the other paperwork type of jobs that I've done throughout my lifetime. Now, as you know, I'm 35, so I haven't had the most extended career in things. Radio has actually been the longest career that I've ever had, which I'm very honored and proud to say that, because not very many people are able to make this an actual career for a long stint. But I've had that opportunity, and I hope that it continues to grow and that we continue to flourish and we do well and we continue to make this the focal point of the career. But I've looked back and I was kind of pondering at some of the old jobs back in the day. Then it led off to, I need a vacation and I want to go snowboarding and I miss Colorado in the mountains and we're going to go visit them at some time, at some point. But nonetheless, when I was there, I started thinking about the jobs that I had in Colorado growing up. And my very first high school job, I was honored and happy enough to not have to work at a restaurant and bus tables like so many of my peers did back in the day. I worked at a feed store where in our small town, I was loading up the bags of grain for dog feed or cat feed or horse feed or cattle feed. I was loading those 50-pound bags up into people's vehicles. I was baling hay and selling the bales of hay to the customers coming in trying to get some, whether it was, you know, one baler, whether it was an entire truckload, and unstacking and taking off entire semi loads of hay and stacking them into piles. And I enjoyed that. It was kind of the free reign, and it was a different experience every day, but it wasn't sitting in an office and sitting in front of a computer screen, or it wasn't bussing tables, which I'm very glad that I didn't have to do. And in between going to school and then getting into radio a little bit and then stepping out for a while, I became a banker. And that was really my first 9-to-5 job that I had. I take that back. I did work some during college, and I told you that, working third shift as an ice packing factory and, you know, bagging the bags of ice, running it down the line and clipping it and then stacking it on pallets and getting it ready for the shipments to go out early in the morning, was really my first 9-to-5 office, or at least factory, or at least structured type of job. Then I got into banking, and it was the same thing. And I'll never forget such a structured day that you start the day at 9 o'clock, you have a structured lunch. It's got to be exactly within like 2 or 3 minutes of when you take a lunch break and how long it has to be. And then you do your job again, and then you get out this next time. And I guess the benefit of that was that when you clock out, you're done for the day. You don't have to worry about anything. But it was so structured, and it was the same mundane stuff day in and day out. And I don't take anything away from people that actually do that. I commend you because you're able to do that. And those jobs need to be done. And they're things that are vital for society. But to me, it drove me nuts, which is why, thank God, I got into the radio industry, which, yeah, they're long days. I can't tune out when I clock out at the end of the day. I don't just, I'm turning off my phone and I'm just walking away. You know, I constantly get text messages or phone calls or emails, either for the show or for the job that I do outside of this program through the rest of the day, that are very long hours. And I can never truly just turn off and rest. But I'm okay with that because of the industry that I'm in, and I'm so grateful to be able to enjoy, and the fact that you enjoy this program and that the company enjoys the job that I do for the most part and what we do on a daily basis. I'm very grateful and very blessed and very honored to be able to have that opportunity. The reason I bring this up is because the workforce itself is changing pretty dramatically right now. There is a new study from Fox News that showed some stats, and the young generation, the Generation Z that's coming up, and the differences between the millennial generation, my generation, and Gen Z that's coming into the workforce, and the changes are pretty astounding. And if the trend continues, because obviously they're going to be more and more of the normal workforce because the older generations are starting to retire, my generation's kind of the heart of the workforce right now, with Gen Z up and coming to be the new workforce generation that will be thereafter. And if the trend continues, then the work industry themselves, as just a work, the 40-hour work week, the 5-day work week, just the structure of how people are going to be doing things is going to be changing pretty dramatically. And whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I think it's up to you to decide on what it looks like. Because my generation, the millennials, have been labeled as the ones that are relatively lazy. They don't like to work. And I was thinking, if I had a 9-to-5 job, I don't know what I would do with myself. Because I have to be working. I may not like the structure of a 9-to-5, but you put every effort into it. And the work ethic that you get while you're growing up in high school and some of those jobs, like working at a feed store and doing the physical labor and working hours like that and learning customer service and learning how to handle money and learning how to do the physical labor all at the same time was probably the best opportunity for work as an entry-level work job for me that I could have had. I tried to work in college, and this is where my stupidity came in, because I took out living expenses in my student loan. I tried to work at the university bookstore, and that lasted like 2 weeks, and I couldn't quite figure it out. They didn't even train me. It's not all my fault. They didn't train me a whole lot. They were just like, you stock the books here, and then you help people find the books when they need them. But I didn't know where the books were. They never gave me a tutorial. They never showed me anything. So I take that one as not my fault. But I admit that I was kind of lazy at that one because I just kind of stopped showing up to it because I didn't understand it and I didn't quite fit in and work right because I didn't like that kind of structure. Working different factory jobs, working banking jobs created that structure, but I didn't quite like that one. But it's getting worse. It's not that I didn't like the hard work and actually putting in the effort. It's the fact that just the mundane, by-the-clock kind of thing kind of bored me and drove me nuts and gave me kind of anxiety. The next generation, though, they want those apparent type of jobs, but they don't want to put the actual work and effort into it. This, according to Fox News, as they showed multiple different kind of a collage of different TikTokers and video streamers talking about how terrible it is to actually have to go to a 9-to-5 job.
I came up with this thing for myself called Bare Minimum Monday that I've been doing for the past several weeks.
A lazy girl job is something that you can basically quiet quit.
The 9-to-5 schedule in general is crazy.
Wow. I mean,
I came up with this thing for myself called Bare Minimum Monday
Bare Minimum Monday. I'm going to come to work Monday and just do the bare minimum. I'm not going to do anything on Mondays because it's about me time. That mentality is starting to take over the workforce. And if you're a small business owner or maybe a large business owner, you might understand this concept by seeing some of the younger generation as a vast majority, according to the latest studies, this one according to businessinsider.com, that a survey found the vast majority of employers across the nation favor older workers as opposed to hiring recent college graduates. Now, you young college graduates that may have $100,000 in student loan debt, how does that make you feel? when the employers, you coming out of the workforce, not able to get a job because they don't trust you in actually being an advocate and actually a staunch worker in the workforce. Maybe it's because you didn't have that work ethic. Maybe it's because you don't know what you're doing. We mentioned on this program before about the higher education essentially becoming the K-12, because the K-12 now, the quality is so low that you have to redo your basic math, you have to redo your basic English, you have to redo your basic science, you have to redo your basic history, all in the first year or two of your four-year college education before you can actually get to your higher education classes and graduate with whatever you want to in whatever industry that you feel. It seems like that's trickled now down into the workforce as well, to where the workforce, when you get in, also has to do the remedial training of what work ethic needs to actually look like in the first place as well. And that to me is kind of concerning. But according to some, they say that's just kind of the new norm. And that really leads to the business and the employers themselves having leadership and coaching skills to teach the young generation.
Well, they need to understand that they've got to mentor and coach these young employees. It's not as simple as just they show up and they know what to do. And that's on the parents, by the way. So we parents have to be careful on what we say, because we collectively have allowed this environment. But the key here is you're going to have to coach these younger employees more than you have any previous generation. Right. And that's leadership. So welcome to the game.
Welcome to the game. That's Ken Coleman from the Ramsey Solutions organization. That was on Fox News just a day or so ago, talking about the need for coaching and leadership in the workforce from the employer to make sure that the young generation is prepared when they come into the workforce. My question is, if we're going to hire somebody, I get it, your entry level, we need to teach you the specifics, but we can't teach you work ethic unless you've kind of been raised with that. We can't teach you how to actually invest yourself into a job and make it personal to want to excel at a job for the potential of a benefit or some type of raise or some type of promotion or some type of pat on the back unless you've actually understood that concept. But in fact, we've been so sheltered for the younger generations that now, apparently, one out of five of the Gen Z workers coming out of college and going into the workforce bring their parents to the job interviews. And you did not hear that wrong. One out of five, according to, again, Business Insider, one in five employers said that a college graduate has showed up with a parent at the job interview because they're so ill-prepared to be able to do the interview and potentially get the job. The parents have to go there and answer it for them, or even just for the moral support, or maybe driving little Bobby to the job interview because they don't have a car. I don't know what the situation is, but to me, blows my mind. Blows my mind how far behind that we've become. Normally, and again, this is looking back in my day, and it wasn't even in my day, it was in generations prior to me, that individuals would be out in the workforce by the eighth grade because their families couldn't afford to have the kids still be in school when they needed to be in work and actually help out on the farm or actually work to create some income and be able to contribute to the family, that the eighth grade is like the farthest you got. And by then, you already knew about everything that you graduate high school with today. Today, we're still trying to do fifth and eighth grade remedial math and science and English by the time we graduate. So higher education can teach you the rest. So that way you're way behind by the time you get into the workforce. And it blows my mind. You know what else they're working for and pushing for is a four-day work week. And if an entire generation does this, starting with the millennials, really being reinforced by Gen Z, if they're pushing things for like the four-day work week, and if they take over the work industry as a whole as they get older and the older generations retire, will that change the entire dynamic of how we actually function as the United States? Kind of an interesting concept to ponder, isn't it?
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
This is Amy, working mom, feeling the pressure of rising costs.
Feels like every day is getting more expensive.
We get it. The cost of living today is way too high. That's where we come in. At Americans for Prosperity, we offer solutions to the country's biggest problems.
Like making life more affordable?
Yep. That's why AFP launched Prosperity is Possible, the nation's largest movement to tackle the cost of living crisis. Americans for Prosperity is helping ease the pain at checkout and the pump, and connecting people to common sense solutions, from reducing wasteful spending and making energy more affordable to improving workplace flexibility. Bottom line, getting government working for us again with solutions we can all agree on.
like empowering families like mine to realize the American dream.
Exactly. Americans for Prosperity, where freedom and opportunity win.
Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. Want to reach out to the show? A big part of the program is you, and we want to hear from you. Let us know your thoughts of the show, maybe a guest we've had on the program, or my favorite, when you disagree with something that I talk about. You can email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or send us a message through our website at HoosierReason.com. The show's not about me, it's about you. So be heard and be your own voice of reason. Again, email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com or find our contact information at HoosierReason.com. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. You want some more reason throughout the day? Well, now it's easier than ever to find. Here's what you do. Check out the website at HoosierReason.com. There you can find past shows, links to all of our social media, special features, our monthly blogs, and a heck of a lot more. Plus, make sure to check in frequently, as we're constantly working to add more goodies that you'll really enjoy. Also, you can always subscribe and follow our social media sites for bonus content, articles that we use on the show, or maybe some additional rants. Yeah, it's all that and so much more. Check it all out at HoosierReason.com.
Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Welcome back into it. Great to have you. 24 minutes past the hour. Radio, TV, live streaming, and podcasting. Are you down with a four-day work week, making the same amount of money and being just as productive? According to some, they say that the studies done abroad over in Europe and areas like that, that they've actually gone to the four-day work week, that they're still just as productive. They haven't lost any productivity, but yet have been able to go down to that four-day work week to let people enjoy and make them happier because they get an extra day off, so to speak. The young generation, Generation Z, it started really with the millennials, my generation. And we have a lot of aspects to this. We have the parents and how they actually teach them with the work ethic. Are you living in a bubble with your helicopter parents doing everything for you? Or are you doing things on your own? Are you being taught? That'll handle your finances. Are you being taught a hard work ethic, or do you just get everything that you want because you ask for it and because you feel like you're entitled to it in some way? Generation Z apparently is entitled, feeling that they don't have to do a whole lot. And when they do, they don't understand the work ethic. At the same time, technology is growing so much that the vast majority of them, look, they grew up in high school. They grew up in college. They grew up in the early part of their working career under COVID. Their first experience of life is working from home and remote learning, and we have the technology to do that in many aspects now. So they feel that they kind of get to make their own schedule and do their own thing. As long as the job gets done, then who really cares? Which, I got to be honest, I mean, that's kind of the way I like to work as well. You know, do you have to clock in and clock out at a certain time? That kind of drives me nuts. If I get the work done, then what's it matter, right? That's what the most people would probably enjoy that. As long as I can get my stuff done, then who really cares what the actual hours are? And a lot of the next generation is feeling that way, although they're like the bare minimum Monday. They don't even want to do the work in the first place. They want to work as little as possible and then try and get the same amount of pay. And that's where we draw the line on the ridiculousness. But apparently the four-day work week could potentially become a reality here moving forward as these newer generations are recognizing how the differences in the workforce and the opportunities that they have to try and just live their life in luxury.
It absolutely is going to be a thing. I don't know when, but it's been tested for a six-month trial in London, England, and it came out pretty conclusive that productivity did not dip. It's also being tested in the United States as well. So I think that's going to be industry-specific, and I think it's going to be leader-specific. What I mean by that is you can't just shove 5 days of work into 4 days without some systems, and it's got to be advantageous to that specific industry. So we'll see how that develops.
This Generation Z, according to what we're seeing with Business Insider, shows that Generation Z, for the first time, started with the millennials, kind of taking things again to another level here. They're the first generation not moving out of the home with their parents. Totally okay with living at home. They don't have the mortgage. They don't really have car payments. Maybe they have the credit cards because obviously everybody has a credit card. Got to be able to do that. But they have more expendable cash than everybody else because they're not wanting to start families. They're not wanting to go out and be on their own. They're not wanting to buy their own home and do their own thing. So they have more expendable cash than the other generations who are, I don't know, trying to survive and actually stay independent. And then we have the young ones that are mooching off of us. Damn kids. I'm telling you, a little voice of reason. By the time she starts college, that's it, baby. I hope she figured it out, man. Joking. We'll help her out the best we can, but we're going to teach her that her success and her survivability is going to be on her because she's not just going to live at home the rest of her life with mom and dad. That's not going to happen. She needs to be individuated and be able to take care of herself, which is what we're trying to set her up for success. Not trying to baby her, not trying to create the bubble, not trying to helicopter parent her. I despise that mindset. I don't want to tell her not to put her hand on the stove. I want her to put the hand on the stove to learn not to ever have to do it again. And that's what the kind of mindset that we have to use moving forward. But this next generation, more expendable cash. So instead of investing it in actually setting themselves up for success and independence, they're traveling, they're living life, they're enjoying, they're going on the vacations, and they're doing things that other individuals are not able to do, doing the world travels around because they have the ability to do so, not focusing on the job. Sounds great. You only live once, right? YOLO. But at the same time, when that runs out and the parents are gone and you have to take care of yourself, how are you going to do it? How are you going to take care of yourself? You've never learned a skill. You've never learned the ability to actually succeed and grow in your career. That could be a problem.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When reason meets radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
I'm sorry, I still can't get over the fact that 1 in 5 Gen Zers, college graduates, are going to job interviews with their parents there as well. What do you do with your parents there? Like, are the parents the ones answering the questions? Yeah, yes, my son is great at this job. They'd be fantastic for it because he can't say that for himself. I don't understand, man. Doesn't make any sense. I get it, business owners. If you're looking for the older generation, guess what? The older generation is getting harder to find. The ones with the hard work ethic, it's not gone by any means. I'm not trying to lump in an entire generation with one mindset here. But at the same time, it seems like it's getting more and more difficult to find the ones that are willing to work and put in those hours. And not to brag or not to try and say anything, I mean, just the radio industry the way it is, I enjoy that. That's why I think I was drawn to this industry. Because is it really work? I mean, it's radio. So it's not a whole lot of work, but it's long hours. I remember doing the job, going into an internship at 7 a.m. and working and living 2 hours away from that. So I have to wake up at 5, then doing a construction job, then going to the broadcasting school from 6 to 10 at night, then driving an hour home and then starting the entire process over again. You did that because you enjoyed the industry. To work your way up, to start at the ground level and work your way up. And that's where we're at 12 years later. And we're seeing it now. And we're seeing this show on multiple radio stations all over the place, all over the country, as we syndicate ourselves all over the place. As working here based out of Wichita, Kansas, as an operations manager for 10 radio stations, being the head programmer, making sure everything tries to stay on the air the best that I can at the capability. Yeah, it's long hours. I can never turn off. But at the same time, I enjoy it. I enjoy that industry. So it's wild to think that the next generation, the bare minimum Mondays, that's what they're going for. Bare minimum Monday. You need to pay me the best that you can, but I'm going to do the bare minimum work on Mondays because, well, that's my me time. Is that what we're at today? Kind of crazy, man. Let's get into what's trending. Let's do this.
What's trending today?
So being based out of Wichita, Kansas right now, I am bracing myself, although I enjoy colder weather, and I've told you that before. I do the cold showers. It's supposed to be very healthy for you. It lowers the inflammation. I go out and meditate when it's like really cold outside. I enjoy that stuff. But this weekend here in the Kansas and Mid-America region, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, northern Texas, this whole area, we're supposed to get like down into like the negative 10 degrees, which is cool. But at the same time, I'd rather be where this guy's at right now. He's out on the boat hanging out for the vacation. And this is, again, younger generation, listen up. You don't have to go tour the world right now when you're living with your parents. This is what you get to enjoy after a career of hard work, in a career of doing really cool things, in a career of actually putting in the effort. Then you get to enjoy life, not enjoy life first and then play the victim later because you don't have anything else. Excited to have this guy on the program. He's a husband, father, he's a world champion surfer, he's an author, he's a biker, and he's an adventurer, which you can find his website at bearsschoolofmanliness.com. He's also author of multiple books, his latest one, 12 Rules for Manliness. Happy to have back on the program with us here at Bear Wozniak. Bear, what's going on, my friend? Happy New Year.
Hey, haole makahiki ho, that's Hawaiian for Happy New Year. But at the moment, we're having 30, 40-foot surf in Hawaii. We're sailing here in the Virgin Islands. So an adventure is usually when things go wrong, but we're just really just what we call cruising. So we're anchored here about 180 feet off this beautiful shoreline. We went snorkeling earlier today, and snorkeling is cool when it's these sheer cliffs and caves, and you're just like, in a three-dimensional space. So it's been beautiful. But I got to tell you, you know, Andy, my whole life, I've worked really hard, but I mean, really, I still have two full-time jobs. Yeah. I have my business and my ministry, and part of that ministry is radio and TV. But I've always thought of myself as a gentleman adventurer. I've always carved out space in my life to go do stupid things like run with the bulls you know, paddle great distances, pedal my bicycle across the United States. I've always carved out room for our adventure. And I think a lot of men miss out on that, but you can't, you first got to do your kuleana, your responsibilities, and then that can open up the door for adventure.
You're absolutely right. You have to take the time to enjoy life. I mean, I get it, the YOLO, you only live once, you got to take advantage of the opportunities when they come. We were talking for the first part of the program about the younger generation pushing for 4-day work weeks and pushing for this movement now on social media of bare minimum Mondays, of wanting to get paid these massive amounts of wages because they have $100,000 in student loans, but not purchasing a home, staying with their parents, and then just trying to just skate through the work and then just go live life. And
well, they're missing out on the dignity of work.
Yeah,
there's dignity in any work that's actually productive work. I mean, even Jesus said, even now the Father and I, we work.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's dignity. We find in so many ways we become more like who God is when we're our creator is when we do productive work. And I remember when I started my career, my mother sent me a little plaque, and I put it on my office walls for years, and it just said, "Do all your work as unto the Lord and not as unto men, for from Him comes His reward." So for the young people that are saying, "I just want to cruise by," they're losing out. Because there's great sense of achievement and award and self-worth and dignity when you work hard. And, you know, one of my chapters in my book is "Come Hell or High Water, Get the Job Done." So work is a blessing. I mean, there's a part of it, you know, the Bible says it's a curse. We have to do it by the sweat of our brow. But on the other hand, it's a real blessing to do something in life that's productive. And I know I chickened out on radio. I took a radio class when I went to Baylor. And they said, "Well, this is how hard you're going to have to work. And at first, you're not going to get to do much radio. You're going to be selling a lot of advertising." And I went the CPA route instead, you know. But young people, find dignity in your work, no matter what it is. When I was young and I was a commercial banker, I worked for New York Bank. We're living in California. And I would drive by the fields where the migrant workers were harvesting strawberries and stuff. And that's hard work. They were bending over to harvest it. There was dignity in what they were doing, and there's joy in their life by being productive and providing. And so, young people, don't miss out. Don't fool yourself. Be productive. Be fruitful.
Amen to that. Yeah, like you said, enjoy it. Yeah. Enjoy it. Embrace it and enjoy it and make it your craft and do something with that. Do you see the younger generation? And that's why I had to get you back on, because I love chatting with you before on the weekend national program and with this program. I wanted to talk about manliness and that responsibility. What do you call it? The kuleana? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, in Hawaii, it's kuleana is more than responsibility. It's like this is your realm of stewardship, but it's more than that. It's you. This is yours. It's your possession. It's actually you.
I like that.
So to take on that kuleana. But when I spoke on the college campuses in Montana during the month of November, man, the young men really responded. They want the challenge.
Yeah.
The men want to hear that. They want that. And the women really love it, too. They want their men to be manly.
Well,
you know,
it seems like they're looking for a purpose, aren't they? It seems like right now, with the way generations are and with the way society is right now, that with how much government's taken over and centralized power and trying to take care of people and so on and so forth, it seems like we're lacking purpose, which is why we see crime or we see addiction or we see depression or anxiety. We're missing life's purpose, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. As I was out on the college campuses, the more I challenged the young men, the more they rose to it. They're like, "Yeah, this is what we've been needing. We need someone. Maybe we didn't even have a dad in our home, but we need that." In Hawaii, when I walk down the beach, when men my age are walk down the beach, everyone says, "Hey, uncle. Hey, uncle. Hey, uncle. Hey, auntie." You know, the younger men need uncles because maybe they've missed out. Maybe they were raised in a house with a single mom who hates men because the man betrayed her, and so they need mentors that will say, "Man, work hard." Even if, you know, there's such dignity and such an inner strength that develops. You know, there's something in weightlifting. You know, I did some weightlifting when I was training. My world title is when I lift my wife over my head when we tandem surf. That's what I got my. When I had to train, resistance training is what builds virtue.
Yeah.
And you know so whether it's, you know, we think about it going to the gym and lifting weights, resistance training, but if you're not doing something that's hard, it makes you soft. And you know, the word for resist, you don't develop virtue without resistance. And the word for man in Latin is the word vir, which is the root of virtue. And there's another word, homo sapien. Homo means mud. So get down and get dirty. Don't be trying to get a job at Starbucks. Find some sort of gritty work, you know, whatever it is. It can be, maybe it's not what you were expecting when you came out of college, but whatever your hand, the Bible says, whatever you set your hand to, you set your hand to that plow, don't look back. Don't regret, you know, maybe getting a lot of student debt. Just set your hand to the plow and work, and God will bless you. God will prosper you. And you'll find a good woman, by the way, when she sees a man who knows how to work.
That is very true. There was a study just a couple of weeks ago about Democrat women saying that there are no men in the Democrat Party left anymore. They didn't know where to find good men because all the men in the Democrat Party, they're the beta males. They weren't finding the men that they were looking for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, don't get me started. I mean, when I spoke on the college campuses, which are basically run by a feminine men or women, they didn't want me to speak on the campuses just because my book said 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? They didn't even read the book. They didn't like the fact that was a title. We need our young men not to apologize for being men. And that's why the book doesn't say 12 Rules for Masculinity either, because masculinity is a word that's been co-opted. It's just say the word, just say the way it is. It's manliness. And there's nothing more manly than a man that will provide, not just for himself, but for those that God called him to provide for, his wife, his children. If you're not married, then get ready, dude. You know, work hard, get the education you need, and don't get it in the liberal arts or something silly like that. Get something that's going to get you a good gig, good job, and prepare for that woman that someday you will meet. And prepare for. I remember, dude, when I was in high school, a junior in high school, I was in social studies class. I think I had tater tots and.
I tell you what, Bear, hold that thought. We got to take a hard commercial break. Hold that thought. I want to continue that story when we come back here. It's a great one. It's Bear Wozniak. You can find him online at bearsatschoolofmanliness.com. The book is 12 Rules for Manliness. We'll continue this when we come back here, right around the corner. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Reason, rationale, common sense. That's what we do in this program. I know it's difficult to find once in a while, but we are still here. We're alive. We're still kicking. Welcome into it. Got a few minutes left here of the program. I love hanging out with this guy. We need to make him a semi-regular on the show. Get him back on soon. It is Bear Wozniak. 12 Rules for Manliness is the book. You can find his website at bearsschoolofmanliness.com. Go and check that out. Bear, I got to ask you, as we talk about responsibility of the young generation, the men looking for their purpose, how important is it now more than ever for men to find that responsibility, or men and women both, to find the responsibility when it comes to social issues, when it comes to marriage, instead of just having the fling and going about your separate ways, but actually taking responsibility for certain actions? I see that as kind of the breakdown of society in many aspects right now, as opposed to the family unit that keeps things strong and moving right now. How important is that?
Yeah, I got to say something to you first. I don't want people to get the wrong impression, because I'm cruising out here, Andy, but I got Starlink on. I'm up at 4 every morning working. So for those young guys, I'm Uncle Bear still out here working. But, I think the men come factory loaded to be men of virtue and to make a stand. And we need men now that are willing to be dangerous, that are willing to. In Hawaii, there's a word, imua. It means strength, but it means strength moving forward. We've left a big breach in the wall. we need to rebuild that wall. Because, you know, I was reading Augustine. Do you like reading Augustine? St. Augustine, he's...
Yeah.
I was reading the Confessions yesterday morning, and he's writing about how when he was... Cause he's writing a letter to the Lord, and he's saying, oh, how when I was young, I thought that morality was a matter of custom. And I did not know, God, that because you're an unchanging God, that your moral truth does not change either. Mm. And we think that morality is based on a matter of community consensus. Well, we're beyond being on the slippery slope. We've gone off the cliff. But good men making a stand can make a change when it comes to moral. And it's not just being opinionated about something. It's being willing to live out a life of virtue.
Yeah.
And so just to say, well, I'm just to yell at the TV or whatever YouTube you're watching isn't being a man of virtue, but to lay down your life to seek out the true good through self-donation, that's the essence of, you know, of what a man is. So we need emua. We need not just strength, but we need men taking back the ground that we, no one took it from us. We gave it away. We yielded. We left it back.
Yeah.
We're not victims. We need to be victors and take back the ground.
I love that.
That we've lost.
I love that. Bear, we got just about a minute left here before we have to wrap up. There's a trend right now in social media talking about how many men think about ancient Rome for some reason. I don't know why, but I don't think about it. But at the same time, I almost understand why, because at that time, like you said, there were the men of manliness, the men of responsibility, the hardworking men with the sweat on their brow. Do you think because we're lacking that in society is why we're bringing that up today?
I live in ancient Rome, dude. I mean, like, we've forgotten there's so much wisdom too through the ages, you know, starting in Aristotle in Greek and moving towards through Rome and all the way up to Thomas Aquinas. Great wisdom. Those guys were smart people. I'm not saying that Rome didn't have its problems, but they were there was a time when men were men, you know, the men drew the line and did their duty, you know, we need men like that, men like you.
And you're that leading example. You're that generation before, and we should be, the way it was back in the day, we should be actually looking at the wisdom of the older generations to learn the stories, to learn the wisdom, and be able to apply it to us. And right now, the younger generation, there's a lot of them that don't do that, and thank God that there are a lot of them that are still trying to do that, which is why they're so excited when they hear you speak and read your books. So thank you for what you do, my friend. Yeah.
The word conservatism means to conserve. Let's conserve these traditions. Hold fast to that which is good.
Hey, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, my brother.
Hey, I love it. 12 Rules for Manliness. Go and check out the book. Also, the website at bearsatschoolofmanliness.com. Bear, it's always so good to talk to you, my friend. While I'm freezing in the negative 12 degree temperatures this weekend, I'll be thinking of you on the boat at 75 degrees. That'll be nice.
Oh, man. I have Nordic neurosis. I'm not man enough to do what you guys do.
Oh, I love it. Bear, happy new year too, my friend. Let's do it again real soon, brother.
Hey, aloha.
Hey, aloha to you as well. There it is. Bear Wozniak. Go and check out the website, bearsatschoolofmanliness.com. The book is 12 Rules for Manliness. Great content, great information, great way to set up the young generation for 2024 when I think it's needed now more than ever, especially with the new ones coming up above the education system and going into the workforce. There it does. Back at it tomorrow. No, tomorrow's weekend. I'm sorry, back at it on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend. Well, you can check out our syndicated program, The Voice of Reason's Weekend Edition, on the live streams and local radio stations around your area as well. But until then, everybody enjoy the weekend. We'll see you on Monday. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier.